He brings the passion.
For what? I want to know now. I'm mentally invested. Don't tell me to pray and you don't say what for.
He brings the perspective.
Yeah, I they both have a great point. Get off me, text line.
He's truly one of a kind.
That is wow.
Oh, my God.
He's doing a great job.
Okay. I need you to man up and say what you really want to say.
Simon, you're doing a great job.
Shut up.
And together, they are Steiny and Guru.
Yeah.
On 95.7 The Game.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's basketball season. It is basketball season here in the Bay. Golden State Warriors season opener tonight at Portland. I'm donning it, a new era of Warriors basketball. It's the post-Klay Thompson era. I'm excited.
Let's go, man.
I'm looking forward to it.
2024-25, brand new year, brand new team. I know there's a couple of mainstays, but Steiny, I'm excited about this team because there's a lot of different avenues that we can go down with this group. But at the end of the day, I think the first thing that I think of is the vibes are the best that they've been since the 2022 season.
I hope so. I hope so. Because the last 2 years, things went a little haywire for this team. 2 years ago and last year, Draymond Green obviously had a hand in it. Last year, Klay had a hand in it.
Literally.
This year, this year, bunch of new players. Too many players, maybe. I thought they had 11 guys who have a chance to play. And then I did the math. It's 12. They have 12 guys. That's going to be a big challenge. But Curry, Pajemski, Moody, Heald, Melton, Wiggins, that's 6. Anderson, Green, Payton, 9.
Not 5. Not 6.
Looney, Kuminga, Jackson Davis. Who's not playing on this team? Let's spin it positive. Who's playing on this team? How's Steve Kerr going to figure out the rotations? It's going to be fun.
Year number 16 for number 30. 16, Steiny. Age 36.
He's too old.
A young 36.
You know what's funny is when you think about the Golden State Warriors and you make up a list of questions or concerns, it's unbelievable that Curry doesn't even figure onto the list, and yet it could be the number one thing. Can our 36-year-old superstar continue to play at the level he's been playing? If he can't, all bets are off. But if Steph Curry is Steph Curry and they've got some pieces around him, pros who know how to play with experience, then I think this team can be better than last year.
Well,
I really do.
Your tone just at the start is, I don't know if it's concerning. I don't know if it's, it sounds different because it's optimistic, it's positive, and it's been like that whether I'm in, whether Goo's in, whether you're walking down the street. You have been up on the Warriors this year, and I'm not sure exactly why.
Well, you know, one of the things I thought about was last year. And, Steiny, how do you think the Warriors... And when Klay Thompson's name comes up, I'm thinking, God, he was pretty lousy last year. God love him. But I'm mostly fascinated with a team that does seem to have pieces that intersect and that can play together. And I do agree with you. There's been a cloud over this team for a couple years, whether it's been Draymond, whether it's been Wiggins, heck, whether it's been Kuminga's emergence. And so this year, they don't really have any excuses. I think the young guys are going to play, and I think it's all going to revolve around Curry. And you're looking for leaps from the young players, and if you can get those leaps from the young players, and then the veterans can chip in. You know, I would say everybody's got a win total for this team. And I got to be honest with you, I've heard everything from the 30s to the 40s to the 50s. If I had a bet, I'd have to say 40s. But if it were a bet, you know, 5-1, you might get me to lean into 50, believe it or not.
Well, that's what's exciting is you could see it all. And, you know, whether it's people being, like, I mean, it's not just you that's optimistic. There are people that we've talked to that are excited for this season because it feels fresh. Like, the last couple of years, and I don't know if it's because of them just digging into what got them the championship 2022, but the last couple of years, this team kind of felt stale. They felt like, I don't know, they kind of just ran it back for a couple of seasons and hoped to recapture magic that whatever you believe they found and helped them win ring number four for Curry and Dre and Clay and all the rest. But in a way, this year feels like they have a chance to, I don't know, just kind of feel released, to feel more free. And I don't want to say it's just because of Clay Thompson leaving, but it feels like there is a shift happening with the Golden State Warriors from the top to the bottom. And that's why this year's exciting, because I have no clue how good they're going to be. I think they can be really good, but they got to go up there and prove it.
They absolutely do. Here's what Evan was talking about. Does the team feel a little lighter? Steve Kerr was on with Willard and Dibbs, and what did Steve Kerr have to say?
No, I think that is fair. And you know, every year is a little different, and you can't always control all that stuff. So you're constantly hoping that you get a group in a good vibe and in a good place, and that's where we've been with this year's team and camp. There's a really good sense of we've got a chance to prove people wrong and to have a really good team, and we got, you know, a lot of guys who are excited to be here, and I know I'm excited. I this is year 11 for me, which is crazy, but wow. I'm feeling refreshed and ready to go and really excited about the season.
Yeah, and that's exactly where I'm at. I felt like the last 2 years, all right, so the Warriors win it in 2022, and then I felt like the last 2 years we were being unrealistic about it, this team's chance to win another title. I just don't think they had a championship team the last 2 years. And I think that's a big part of my excitement this year, because it feels like for a majority of the fans, they're, I don't want to say finally weaning themselves off the idea that this team has to win a championship. But I do think this fan base has a lot of fans that understand what's going on, and they understand where the team is right now. And I feel like this is a brand new, fresh start for every player on the team. That includes Draymond Green. Like, we can't do anything about what happened with Draymond Green the last 2 years. Doesn't matter anymore. So I look at every player on this team as the slate is completely clean. The only thing that matters is what happens from tonight on. And if Draymond Green can put together a hell of a season and stay out of trouble and play defense like he plays, then he should get all the credit for that. If Steph Curry can continue to play at the level he's playing at, that's how we're going to judge him. What about Jonathan Kuminga? We all know he's got some issues in terms of a contract that he didn't get. How's he going to respond? But I love when a team doesn't have a lot of expectations, Evan, but I look at the team and say, if their chemistry's pretty good, they got a lot of players who can help.
Well, and that's why, you know, kind of as we move on today, you know, I think you and I have questions.
Yep.
But questions that I think can lead the Warriors to a place of relevancy, a place they have unrealistically been put into the last couple of years. They've led talk shows. They've led national shows. They've led these shows the last few seasons with championship expectations. And it feels like for the first time in a while, they're back to being where they should be, which is a team that has talent, which is a team that has cohesion and chemistry and veteran leadership, and might be able to make some noise. And I'm excited to look at the team just like that.
Me too. And that's also another thing I mean by the clean slate. My expectations are relatively modest for this team, but that to me is another good thing. So you can exceed expectations. You can't exceed expectations if you think you're going to win a title. Then you can't. But this year, I think it's going to be interesting. We got a funky show today, but man, is it going to be fun. How about this one? At 11 o'clock today, in 45 minutes, We got a nice little baseball player going to join us.
I'm so excited.
Reggie Jackson.
Oh, my God.
Reggie Jackson, Mr. October, the straw that stirs the drink. He's going to be joining us at 11 o'clock. And the reason, we still have one more game to play at the Oakland Coliseum. Yes, we do. And it's this Sunday, and we'll be talking to Reggie Jackson about that. So we got Reggie coming up at 11 o'clock. We're going to go Warriors heavy till then. 888-957-9570. Evan and I have compiled a list of five of the biggest questions facing the Golden State Warriors this year. We haven't looked at each other's list, but we're going to get into it on the other side. And we want you to be a part of it. 888-957-9570. Going into this season, Warrior fans, what's the biggest question you have about this team? 888-957-9570. It is hoop season in the Bay.
Fighter Sally, four-time NBA champion, and you are listening to Steiny and the Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. Warriors season opener tonight. Portland at the Moda Center. Steph Curry's 16th season in the NBA. What's he got in store for us this year, ladies and gentlemen? 888-957-9570 is the number. And with the Warriors season starting, we thought it'd be a good idea to talk generally about this team and where they're at. And so Evan and I have come up with what we feel like are the five biggest questions that each of us have about the Golden State Warriors this season. And as always, the number is 888-957-9570. What's your biggest question about the Warriors this year? Well, Evan, start us off.
I think that the one that matters the most is probably 30, but that's not my biggest question for the Warriors this season.
All right.
My biggest question is, how does Jonathan Kuminga handle his first contract year? And I cannot imagine him not feeling some type of way about seeing every single other rookie contract eligible player, including one on his own team, Moses Moody, getting paid or coming to a deal with their respective teams, and him being a group with Josh Giddey, who was traded from his own team to the Chicago Bulls. Those are the two eligible players that did not receive a contract. And it sounds like it's because he and the Warriors were not close. There was a number, they couldn't get there, whatever it may be. But my biggest question is how he handles what players typically have to go through about 4 years from now. And he has to do it at a very infant time in his career.
I think that's an absolutely fair question. And I don't want to say, boy, Kuminga didn't get a contract extension. That's not good. But I will say Kuminga didn't get a contract extension. Let's monitor that situation a little bit, because it is a lot to ask of a young player to go out and play. Yeah, it's so hard to go out and play for $7.6 million. But the point remains the same, is that you're right. I mean, virtually everybody in his class got an extension. And you can't tell me that he's been here 4 years now and Not getting an extension is nothing to see here. No, there's something to see here. It could turn good, but it's a 50-50 type of thing with Jonathan Kuminga. The reports say that the Warriors were willing to offer him about 30 per year, but he wanted more than that. They didn't come to an agreement. Moody did, and now Jonathan Kuminga heads into this season knowing that how he plays this year is going to go a long way toward determining what he gets paid. And we all know that sometimes that affects a player.
Well, and the other reason why it's the biggest question that I have is because, in my opinion, the things that have derailed the last two seasons were egos and agendas. And the reason why I think Kerr, in the previous segment, was talking about how light this team felt. And the reason why I think that they, as a whole, the Golden State Warriors look refreshed. They feel different. You said a clean slate. I think that's accurate. It's because there's no questions heading into this season outside of Jonathan Kuminga's contract. Because Curry extended this offseason. Draymond Green is under lock and key. They chose to not make a deal this offseason. They chose to go out and move Clay and then bring in along. Well, move Clay and then, of course, not re-sign Chris Paul, but bring in Melton Anderson along with Hield. So they've restructured their roster, but their franchise doesn't have any looming questions. They don't have a looming Clay Thompson question. They don't have the punch and the question of what are they going to do with Draymond and Poole. There are a lot of things that each of the past 2 years they've entered the season with. And that doesn't apply to this year outside of Kuminga's non-contract.
Right. 888-957-9570 is the number. Warriors opener tonight at Portland. What are your biggest questions about this team, or your one big one? I'll go with mine, and then we'll take a couple calls and splice them in here. I'm going to take the obvious one here because I just think it's really the most important thing. And here's what I have. Can Steph Curry continue to play at a comparable level than he's been playing at the last couple years? And that's, to me, really the biggest issue. If Steph Curry can be Steph Curry or 90% of what he's always been, then I do think this team's got some action and this team could win more games than a lot of people think. But if Steph starts to noticeably slip a little bit, and his numbers are down a little bit, and we're finding that he's so much of a focus by the team's defense that they're playing, I think we'll be able to see whether or not the other guys are stepping up, depending on what it looks like for Steph Curry and how hard it is for him to generate his offense for himself and others. But, I mean, if... The guy is unbelievable at 36 years old. At some point, you got to believe he's going to take a dip where we're going to look at each other in the eyes and say, you know what, he slipped a little bit. The question will be, does he slip enough so that you can't make up for the 10 to 15% that you lose in his greatness?
So when we were coming up with these questions, that was the first place my mind went. But then I did, I don't know, a little digging. Because but you can make the case that he slipped at the end of last year. I mean, he, for his own standard, did not shoot the ball very well after the All-Star break. But, and maybe I'm sipping the Kool-Aid, Steiny, but seeing what he did in the Olympics in those last two games in the biggest moment, overall, he didn't have the greatest Olympics, but he was the best player when they needed him to be. And that fortified my hope that he can remain at that level. Also, I'm just looking around players at his age, at his position. I don't want to use the LeBron thing because to me that's unfair. He's a freak of nature. But Chris Paul at age 36 played 70 games playing 33 minutes a night. He was an all-star. Mike Conley last year was age 36. He played in 76 games, started 76 games playing 30 minutes a night. Even someone like Kyle Lowry played 60 games playing 32 minutes a night at age 36. Thank you. Well, now, I'm kind of always been big booty Judy. And I just think that Curry, even based on the players at his position, at his age, there's enough evidence to show that he can do it. And that's not even taking into account the own commitment that he has to his body. So it is a big concern. It's probably the thing that will swing the season, his stamina or his health. But I guess for that reason, it's not my biggest question.
Gotcha. And this from the Comcast Business text line. Steiny, did you see Steph in the Olympics? I don't see him. I don't think we'll see him slipping too much this year. No, but the one thing I think we may have gotten a little insight to in the Olympics, and maybe we should take it into this year, is, you know, at Steph Curry's age, there are still going to be great moments. There just are. He's too great a player. He's too great a shooter. But what if they're a little bit fewer and farther between? That's something that the Golden State Warriors are going to have to deal with. I think it's just natural when a player gets to be as old as Steph Curry, you have more games where you're just not quite the guy who's 13 for 21 for 33 points on efficient shooting. You've got to expect that Steph might have lesser great games and a few more games where he's ordinary, at least by his standards. So what can you do in those games when Steph Curry might not be able to carry you? Because it's unfair to expect him to carry you like he did 5 or 10 years ago. So that to me is a big, big part of this. And then the second part of it, of course, with Steph is, you know, is he still the player who draws so much attention so as to make it easier for his teammates? Because I still think he's that kind of player, because you have to account for him. And so if his play slips, if his play slips a little bit, does he still remain enough of Steph Curry that he's got to get the same attention that he's always gotten?
Yeah, and I think Kerr talking about, and they've always had somewhat of a, out of a pseudo minutes limit for him. You know, they want to keep him around 32. I think last year was like 33. And to be fair, they did. I think he averaged 32.7 minutes per game. So they did a pretty good job at limiting him in the second half of the season. But he played a lot through the first 40, 50 games of last year, and he was really good. But I think that did take a toll on him. So I think it's fair to also ask, you know, Is it a slip? Is it a dip? Or is it Kerr trying to, along with Curry, conserve his energy? Because if he burns himself out trying to get them off to a hot start, or trying to account for the fact that they might be missing a player, or account for an injury that happens, well, then the season can go off the rails.
Yeah, I agree with that. 888-957-9570 is the number. Warriors tonight versus the Portland Trail Blazers at the Moda Center, and the Golden State Warriors enter a season where everything's changed. It feels like the expectations have changed. It feels like the roster has changed. It feels like their attitude and approach may have changed a little bit. Let's go out to Bud in Oakland. Wants to talk about the Golden State Warriors. How you doing, Bud?
Hey, Sonny.
Hey.
How y'all doing this morning, man? Hey, listen,
doing
right?
Well.
So just before I get to my point real quick.
Yep.
Sonny, I kind of feel like your assessment of what you're comparing this Warriors season as, you know, what you think it could be, or better yet, your of Steph Curry, of what you're saying, of what could he give, I think you're kind of looking at this team, or maybe not, but it kind of sounds like it's almost in the comparison to that championship team when we lost to Toronto.
Okay.
You said, can Steph Curry, you know, be enough to make teams, you know, can he make teams focus on his other teammates as well? Can he do enough? And, you know, with that season when KD and Klay went down, that was a young roster. We didn't have nobody else to spread around. It was just Draymond and Curry on the floor, and a bunch of young guys just standing around. So what did the defense do? What they did? The Bison won. This year, this team is different. We have some other guys that they brought in to battle that, as if it did come down to that. I see that. I think that these guys can get up and down the floor. They can shoot. They can space. We have a better roster than that 2019 roster. But my assumption for this year, or my guess, I want to say my biggest question is can Andrew Wiggins become an all-star again? Can Andrew Wiggins give you what's missing? We know what the other guys make and bring, but right now we're looking at Andrew Wiggins as the number two. And my biggest prediction, you can lock this in,
Steph
Curry will give us the MVP season. Steph Curry will win MVP, Steiny.
Wow.
You lock that in right there.
Thanks for
taking the call.
All right, Bud. The one thing I will say is, you know, the only way Steph's going to win the MVP is if they win 50 games. That's the first step to the MVP.
At least.
Is you got to have a good year. The team has to have a good year. But you give me 50 wins, and I know that's not an automatic by any stretch, but that's when we can start talking about Steph as being the MVP or not. All right, what do you got for number two?
Number two, I want to know how many threes this team can actually get up. No, I'm
number
serious.
Two.
Now, part of it is watching what we watched on NBA opening night, and what I believe to just be where the NBA is going. The Boston Celtics took 61 threes in a game last night, which meant that the New York Knicks, who shot 55%, lost by 30. Where am I going with this? The Warriors have a brand new ideology on offense. Terry Stotts was brought in to help reshape the offense. Steve Kerr talked about wanting to kind of play the copycat game with either OKC or Boston. It's a copycat league. I think this team is going to shoot a whole hell of a lot of threes, but I wonder how that's going to work when teams essentially know that all they're going to do is be jacking. I think they have maybe less great shooters as before, but they have a lot of volume shooters. They want, I don't know, your Buddy Hield to get six up a game.
Right.
Melton's a capable shooter. Pods is probably going to take more. Kuminga's taken a bunch in preseason. Kerr said that Wiggins has got to get six a game. Moody can shoot. There's a lot of guys on this team that can shoot threes, but how consistently can they make them at a high enough clip, along with Curry, of course, is in a league of his own, how often can they make enough to beat good teams? Because that was the one thing they could not do last year. They were able to beat the bottom feeders. They feasted on the Charlottes and the San Antonios and the Washingtons of the world, but they couldn't beat the top four seeds in the West. And if they are going to have a 50-win season, if they are going to be a team that challenges, well, then they have to beat some good teams this year, and I think the three-point ball is their avenue to do so. So I think my number two question is, how real is this three-point revolution they're trying to get themselves into?
Yeah, I think that's very fair, because there's a fine line between taking a lot of threes but taking a lot of good threes. And, yeah, you're right. You look at the Boston Celtics last night, 29 for 61. The game's over. You make 29 out of 61 threes, you ain't losing. Plain and simple. So if the Warriors are gonna shoot 45 to 50 threes a game, let's say, you know, a lot of it's going to are they making 10? Then they're in trouble. Are they making 15? Well, then they might be able to be competitive. If they're making 20, then they're in good shape, I think. So, but I agree. I think they have a lot of guys who can shoot the three. I'm fascinated to see how it all shakes out, how many attempts each guy gets, and then what each guy shoots from three-point range. You know, you're right. Can Wiggins go back from 37 or 38 like he did? He might even been higher than that one year.
He was close to 40 a couple years ago.
Or is he going to be the 33? I mean, those are big. That's a big difference. That's a big gap. Let's go to Eric. Eric's in San Ramon. What's up, Eric? How you doing, man?
Hey, Steiny. How's it going?
Dynamite.
Excellent. I just wanted to chime in with regards to Curry. I think I'm in agreement with you. You've been saying for the last couple of years that he's not the same Curry as before. We saw him last season. He's 37 years old. He became a turnover machine. His defense went down the drain, and he became a very inconsistent shooter. I think it's unrealistic for us to expect a 37-year-old to carry the Warriors to any kind of winning record. I think if most Warriors fans are realistic, a 38-win season with Draymond healthy, Curry healthy, and Wiggins playing well is realistic.
All right, so you're Eric's on the low side.
We are a 38-win team.
Where's that?
Was that from last year?
Nick in San Jose. Just wait till he starts calling in.
I was going to say, where's he
at? Where you at, Nick?
He's not a 49ers or a Giants guy. He's just a Warriors guy.
Okay. He's got the over or the under.
Was that for, he thinks this year's team's a 38-win team?
That was last year.
Oh.
Well, at one point they were.
46. 46.
Well, I hate to agree with Steinmetz.
The over is what, 43.5? 44.5 or something like that?
I thought I saw 43.5.
We're a 43-win team, dude.
Dude, 43.5.
Yeah, that's the number.
How many of these do we have?
I hate that number.
By the end of the season, we're going to have one from 35 up to 55. We're going to have enough drops to cover every single possible win total for the Warriors.
Well, I do know. I know two guys who think this is like a 35 to 38 win team.
Well, Harry doesn't count.
Well, we got a guy in the office that doesn't think they're going to be very good either.
Oh, that's true.
They don't need to know who you are, but I'm just saying. Let's listen to Steve Kerr about the target they have for three-point shots in a game.
I never mention that to the team. I don't say how many. I just know that we want to generate a lot of good ones. That's the plan. You know, we want to play fast. We want to push the ball. We want to open threes in transition. You know, and I think we're well suited for that. We have more shooting depth on this team than any team we've had in a long time here. We've always been obviously a great 3-point shooting team, but I think more top heavy than anything, with Steph and Clay and Kevin Durant. And but with this team, I think we legitimately have, you know, seven, eight guys who are going to shoot threes, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, it can be a good thing. It can be a good thing. Rhythm's got a lot to do with it, and that's the one issue, not issue, but it's one of my questions, and we'll get into it a little bit later about, you know, who's going to end up playing on this team night to night, and is it going to be the same or is it going to change? But all right, Evan, my number two is, and it's the I don't know if it's quite the elephant in the room, but
well, yeah, I think I know where you're going.
Yeah, it's Ken Jonathan Kuminga. Elevate his play after not getting a contract extension. I mean, that is a big, big part of this year, is to figure out exactly who Jonathan Kuminga is and what part of the future that he holds, if he does hold any part of the future. There's look, he's on his fourth year deal. They have his rights after the season as a restricted free agent, and you know, the Warriors have control over him, but nobody will deny that he might be the guy you got to listen to if you get an opportunity to upgrade this roster, and he may have to be the guy who you sacrifice for this number two elusive player that we all think the Golden State Warriors need.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's another big reason they didn't give him the contract, or why there is such a wide gap, because right now he's more tradable than he'd be if he was making even $30 million, I think. There's a lot of people around the league. Like, it's funny. We're talking about the gap between what people believe the Warriors can win this season. It's probably about as wide as what people think Jonathan Kuminga's career is going to be. Whether he's going to be, I don't know, just a empty calories, 17-point-per-game score for a bad team, or whether he can be a legitimate superstar for a team that hopes to contend. There are people around basketball, and certainly people in the Warriors organization, that probably believe a little bit of both and just aren't sure yet. So I think that's a great question. And it kind of, again, it falls under the line of how is he going to respond? Because our caller, I forget his name, I apologize, but was talking about the reemergence of Andrew Wiggins. Well, that impacts Jonathan Kuminga,
yep.
I think. For people who want someone like Moses Moody to play more, that might impact Kuminga's minutes. There are a lot of decisions, and I think as we get deeper into this conversation, you know, we'll flush them out a bit more. Just where is Steve Kerr with this roster? You know, who is he going to favor? Who's going to play? And is it going to be matchup-based? Because the way that things are looking, Siney, I could see a completely different rotation from tonight to Wednesday, from tonight to Friday to Sunday for the home opener. This is going to be a revolving door of Golden State Warriors, and I think they can win doing it, but not every night everyone's going to be happy.
Yeah, and that's on my list as a secondary issue, and it's what we've learned about Steve Kerr over the course of 10 seasons with the Golden State Warriors. He's now entering his 11th season. Is, you know, when the chips are down and the decisions need to be made, he tends to lean toward the veteran players. And so when you tell me the Warriors have acquired Buddy Hield, DeAnthony Melton, and Kyle Anderson, and they still have Gary Payton, who I know Steve Kerr likes, then the question I have is, well, what does that mean for Moody, Pajemski, and Jonathan Kuminga? Because we know how sometimes the fans think or want Steve Kerr to go younger than he often does. But we will get back into the Golden State Warriors, who opened their season tonight right here on 95.7 The Game against the Portland Trail Blazers. Coming up on the other side, we are switching gears, but boy, we're going to go faster. We're going faster. We got Reggie Jackson coming up at 11 o'clock. He is working on something super special for Sunday that we're going to tell you all about. Reggie Jackson coming up in 10 minutes. And what a perfect time with the World Series starting this weekend. Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit the friendly expert technicians at your local Valvoline Instant Oil Change to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and more. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com.
back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Why are we playing a Reggie Jackson highlight? Because Reggie Jackson's going to join us in 10 minutes. That was 1977. His three-homer game in Game 6 against the Dodgers at Yankee Stadium. Got to be on the Mount Rushmore of iconic World Series performances.
Well, especially because he did it on three pitches.
Yes, he did.
I mean, you'd think after the second one that you might not want to throw him a strike.
It was
at
a
least
different
trying to pitch around him.
That was a different era, Evan.
That dude was seeing beach balls that night.
They went right at him, and I want to say the last homer was against Bert Hooten, the knuckleballer.
They don't make him like that anymore.
Hopefully, Spadoni can find that out. I think he hit like he got one off. Was it Bobby Welch? Bob Welch?
Five World Series titles.
Guy was incredible.
He's a winner.
So we're going to talk to Reggie Jackson for a few reasons today. One is, I mean, when you think Dodgers, Yankees, you think Reggie Jackson. Also, you think Oakland A's Reggie Jackson. He is putting together the Reggie Jackson Softball Classic, and it's going to be Sunday at the Coliseum at 1 o'clock. So it's a celebrity softball game. Barry Bonds, Dave Stewart, Dennis Eckersley, Ricky Henderson, Jose Canseco is going to be there. And no celebrity game would be complete without Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes of the All the Smoke podcast. So they'll be there, too. Reggie will tell you more about it. But if you want to get tickets to that, hit up Ticketmaster. Or you can search Reggie Jackson on Instagram.
It was a knuckleballer, I should say. He's enough for me to say. Charlie Huff.
Oh, Charlie Huff. Charlie Huff.
Of
damn!
Course.
Number 49.
Of course.
And that one, of course, was the dead center field.
Correct.
You know, I don't know if I'll ask him this, but if you watch that game and you watch that home run, when it came off the bat, it didn't look like it was a cannon. But where it ended up landing was halfway up the black tarp in center field in Yankee Stadium. Oh, God.
Well, one of the things that always, I mean, I never had the chance to watch him live, but watching old Reggie clips was like when he hit it and he got it, he knew.
Yes, he did.
And nowadays, I feel like everyone does that. Look at Juan Soto, his home run to send the Yankees to the World Series against Cleveland. He hit it, he knew it, he threw the bat, he pounded his chest. I'm curious if Reggie Jackson ever knew of someone before him that pimped home runs. Like, in my mind, he's the father of the pimp job. And I'm just curious where he got it from, or if it's just something that, I mean, he always played and carried himself with a bravado, but I just wonder where it originated.
Yeah, so Reggie Jackson joining us in about 5 or 10 minutes to talk about what he's putting on this weekend, and dovetails perfectly with the World Series starting Friday.
Yep.
Where's that starting, in L.A. or New York?
Los Angeles. Best team in baseball this year.
When's the the Yankees and Dodgers met one time since the 70s and early 80s, didn't they? Or is this their first matchup in like 40-plus?
No, because the last time Vin Scully, I think, was on the call, he was talking about that was his favorite World Series moment. One of his favorite broadcasting moments was that series.
Vin Scully. One of the best.
Improbable.
Yeah, so we're going to talk to Reggie in about in about 5 minutes. But real quick, back to the Warriors, and then we'll jump back in with Reggie Jackson. You got three or four more questions. What's number three on your list for the Warriors? I'll take yours, I'll give you mine, and then we'll get to Reg.
Yeah, number three.
And I call him Reg.
So my first dude, my number one question is, how does Jonathan Kuminga, handle his first contract season? Number two was, how many three-pointers can this team that wants to shoot, accordingly 50, actually get off? And then third, it's what happens when Draymond Green sees red. Like, seriously, I know that we've discussed the clean slate, and we've talked about it's a brand new year, and the vibes are great, and the vibes are good. Well, I thought the vibes were good coming off a championship. They turned out to not be. Last season, Draymond Green, again, had what he thought was a refound voice, got suspended for close to 25 games. And I don't expect Draymond to go through a full year without getting ejected. You know, it's not as if I don't want him to play like he's not Draymond Green. And Kerr's discussed this. There's a fine balance. There's a line that he has to walk. And the line cannot be crossed when it hurts the team for an extended period of time. If he gets thrown from a game, that's fine. But being ejected and suspended, that's something that I don't know if it's going to happen this year or not. That's my third biggest question.
Yeah, I believe it or not, I don't have Draymond Green on my list. And I'm not sure why, because I do know that he holds a big key to the season. And I do know that he certainly impacted the last two seasons. But for whatever reason, I don't have him on my list. And maybe that's because I'm just assuming that he's going to have some moments this year like he always has that may not necessarily help the team. But he's not on my list, Draymond Green. I know this is crazy. I'm not going to say, oh, he's going to be a great soldier. He's not going to get any technical fouls. He'll probably walk the line like he always does in terms of technical fouls. But the one thing call me crazy, but he punched Jordan Poole 2 years ago. He was suspended for a big chunk of last year. How about this for going out on a limb? I don't think there'll be anything that big this year as those two.
Third time's the charm.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be shocked.
Well, I also don't think, to your point.
Well, I would not. I can't say that. I would not be shocked.
You wouldn't be shocked.
But I feel like he's going to be okay.
He's never had a larger incentive to not have something like this happen. And that's probably the biggest reason I would have confidence in him not doing anything stupid is because like there's actually real life ramifications for him. If he swings on someone this season, he might get kicked out of the league.
Yeah.
So I think he knows that. He's probably discussed things with the Warriors, perhaps even with the league office. And I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that he'll be on his best behavior.
Yeah, but that's another thing that I think plays into it. When you know, I talk about the expectations of this team, and clearly this year they're not as high as the last 2 years. And I think that the Golden State Warriors signed Draymond Green to that extension, and they all talk about, well, we can't win a title without Draymond Green. And then the easy thing to say, which was correct the last 2 years, is, well, we can't win with him either. What I'm getting at there, Evan, is I think if this team looks in the mirror and knows, look, it's not about winning a title. It's about being the best we can be. And even if we're the best we can be, we're probably not going to win a title. Well, then, do you really have to put up with Draymond's shenanigans if they resurface? Because you're no longer, I shouldn't say you're no longer, but most likely you're not a championship team. So why would you allow Draymond Green to be like he was the last 2 years if there's not even a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow of an NBA title? If it isn't, then you don't have to kind of put up with him, or you don't have to tolerate that, or you can play other guys. But I think I do feel like with this particular team, the days of Draymond Green being able to do what he wants without ramifications, I think they're coming to an end, because he's not the same player, they're not the same team, and they've got some veteran guys, most notably Kyle Anderson, who can do some of the things Draymond can do. Maybe not as well, but you know, to me, Kyle Anderson's a guy who could do some of what Draymond Green does.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I also think the Warriors know how integral he is to them having a successful season. Yeah, sure, the season could go off the rails and Draymond Green, like 2020, might, you know, give up, or I don't know. That's true, but I guess I'm just of the mindset that this team believes that they can compete. And whether it's they compete to the point where, and this kind of is one of my questions, is can they get to the point where a move is on the horizon for this team that can catapult them back into actual contention? Or is it going to be a season that they view as just a transition where they kind of gauge where they are in a very competitive Western Conference, and, well, maybe more of a top-heavy West, and actually seeing if this team can give it one more run. Yeah. That's what they tried to do this summer. They swung and missed on a couple guys, but it wasn't as if they just were okay with standing pat and not trying to improve this roster.
Right, and I think, you know, the other thing about trying to land a Paul George or a Lauri Markkanen, and one of the things, Anthony Slater wrote a story, we're going to hear from him too a little bit later, he was on the morning show, but he wrote a story about how, look, you know, I brought this up to Goo, he doesn't like it, but I think it's the reality of the situation. If I had to bet, I would bet a lot of money that the Golden State Warriors are going to make a trade between now and the trade deadline. The team is